Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. This week, a real fall chill settled in the air. And as those coats come out of the closet, you might be searching for something to do this weekend that gets you into the sunshine on Saturday and keeps you out of the rain on Sunday. We call this segment The Get Out. Here to give you a guide for the best events going on in the city this weekend is WNYC's Jennifer Vanasco, who writes about arts and culture. Welcome, Jay.
Hey, Allison.
And listeners, if you have ideas about what to get out and do during an upcoming weekend, you can tweet at Jennifer Vanasco or at us at All of It WNYC. You can tweet about this weekend. You can tweet about next weekend. Weekend after that.
I absolutely want to hear it.
I like the crowdsourcing. Okay, so there are a lot of great art exhibits going on this weekend. Before we dive in, we should address the biggest event. Probably could be the art world. Is that stretching it a little bit?
I don't know, but it's definitely one of the biggest. Probably this one of the biggest in New York. At least on Monday.
Yes. The reopening of MoMA is what we're talking about. And we're actually partnering with MoMA next week to give you all the highlights about the renovations, the upcoming exhibits, and other exciting changes at MoMA. So we're gonna hold off. We're going to hold off till Monday,
and
Jay.
I totally understand, but okay. I just went yesterday, and it is amazing.
Okay, good. You know what is funny? I'm debating whether to go before next week or not, but I kind of just want to be surprised. So I think I'm going to...
Go before next week.
If you think?
Yeah, go before all the people because it'll be a completely different, it'll be a lovely experience.
Okay. Well, by the way, you can tune into All Things Considered this evening to hear an interview with Glenn Lowry, the MoMA's director. Okay, so let's talk about some other art. There's an exhibit at the Met that you think we should check out this weekend. It's called The Last Night, The Art, Armor, and Ambition of Maximilian I. I hear you have a bit of audio to get us in the right spirit.
Sure do.
Let's hear it.
Greetings and welcome to The Last Night.
I want that all the time.
Right. I thought you would.
So tell me about this exhibit.
So it's the armor of Emperor Maximilian. He was the Holy Roman Emperor. That's kind of hard to say. He lived from about the mid 1400s to late 1500s. I don't know if you remember. I didn't. But the Holy Roman Empire is basically Western and Central Europe, Germany, Austria, Bohemia. And what's great about this exhibit is, like, yes, there's a lot of armor, and I'll get to that. It was cool. But the really interesting thing about it is they talk about he kind of used the armor to create his own brand.
Hmm.
He used it as propaganda, which I find so interesting.
That is interesting.
He used it either as gifts, like very elaborate armor to create his gifts to give other leaders so that they'd be, you know, friends and create alliances. And he also used it. He had these jousting tournaments. And he would have this really gorgeous armor that he would wear, so the people, his own people, would see him, and he would show them, like, look, he is brave, and he is charismatic, and he is a good leader, and he was using his armor to create all that.
Wow, he had a whole thing. He's sort of the first influencer. The exhibit is the first time that this armor is being shown outside of Europe. That's really interesting. So, what kind of cool things do we get to see?
So, some of it is the first. They have 180 pieces from private and public collections.
Wow.
It's from, part of it's from Europe, also the Middle East, and some of it was here. So the armor, first of all, like, the armor is really, like, I know we've all been to the Met and seen the armor there, and that is pretty good armor, but this is really, there's a kind of armor called the Maximilian, because he had his craftsmen kind of, not just doing engraving of the armor, but actually working the metal to do, like, really cool kinds of shapes. The thing I thought was really... So it's beautiful. There's gold. But the thing I thought was really amazing is they also have other objects. Like, they had a tool that actually puts the armor on. And, you know, it, like, tightens it. I just never thought... like, of course... And I guess this is, like, the only one that exists is this, like, armor tool, which was really amazing. There's also child-size armor they use for his son, Philip, later called Philip the Handsome. There's horse armor. There's also books and paintings. But it really kind of tells a story of politics then and him, how he used propaganda. And it's really interesting.
The Last Night is on exhibit at the Met October 7th through January 5th, 2020. So there's still plenty of time. All right. So if you want to spend the day indoors and you want some art, you're recommending another event. No, wait.
This is
outside.
Outside.
That was inside. This is outside.
So really, this is more like a tomorrow thing. Although it's tomorrow and Sunday, I
but
feel
tomorrow
like tomorrow is probably the better
Okay,
day.
Art in Odd Places Festival. Where is this taking place?
So it's in the East. It's on 14th Street. It goes from Avenue C all the way to the Hudson. So, which is kind of amazing. And it has this great idea. It was started after some artists looked around and they were like, hey, there's no longer really artists in the Lower East Side or in the East Village. And where is it? And they thought, like, art should be everywhere, not just in the prescribed spaces, not just in public monuments that people decide by committee, but artists should be kind of in conversation with the world. And so this festival is actually, it's really delightful. It's a delightful festival. It's visual art, it's performance art, it's spectacle, it's a little bit of everything.
Now, this one is titled Invisible, this theme, and it features artists who are 60 years or older.
Yes.
And there are some intergenerational collaborations as well.
Yes.
What are we talking about here?
So the idea behind this year was that people who are older, in their 60s and over, elderly senior citizens, are often, in fact, invisible. And their problems are invisible. Mm. And they're not just, the art that they're creating, though, is not just about, like, older people. It's older people creating art about invisible problems. So people who are homeless, I mean, we don't necessarily consider those invisible, but people we might, like, look over, immigrants. It's really... It should be real, and yet it's also really festive. Like, I haven't been to this festival. I must say, I have never been to it, but I feel a little desperate to go because it really, you know, these artists who, like, have lost, a lot of them, most of them are New York-based mm-hmm. artists. They, like, used to have these art communities. Those are also invisible because they've been gentrified out
right,
of the city.
Right.
And, yeah, and now, like, it's very eccentric, but, like, here they are. They're going to be parading down the street.
This is 14th Street from Avenue C to the Hudson River, curated by Lulu Lolo, which I like to say. Margaret Mead Film Festival. Oh, I heard about this at the Museum of Natural History.
Okay, I know we're going on to this, but can I say one other thing about the festival? Because
yeah,
I did not say this. Like, the important thing is that tomorrow at 2, Sunday at 2, it's basically a parade of artists. So it's not just that you go into galleries. It's that the artists are walking down the street with their pieces of art. Or their performance or
That's
whatever.
That's big. Okay, good.
Yeah,
I'm glad you got that in.
Yeah.
The Margaret Mead Festival at the Museum of Natural History. What sort of films are being shown at the festival and how do they connect to Margaret Mead?
So this is a documentary film festival. Mm. Margaret Mead was an anthropologist. And I knew that. Probably most people know that. But what I didn't know was that she was actually a curator of ethnology at the American Museum of Natural History for 20 years, which is why they named the festival after Margaret Mead. And this festival has 44 films from 34 countries. It showcases the diversity of culture in that the point of this festival is to show these cultures that in a way that gets away from stereotypes. So there's shows about films about women race car drivers mm-hmm. in Saudi Arabia, indigenous drag queens in Australia, that kind of thing.
Let's go on to the White Light Festival. It's happening at Lincoln Center. The website describes the festival as prismatic exploration of the arts. And a bit more specifics. Help me out with that. That's very beautiful, but I'm not really...
And you're like, what does that mean? I think the idea behind this festival is if you think of a dark night and those little white lights and trees mm-hmm. like around the holidays, that kind of feeling of like stillness and peace and beauty and joy, I think that that's what they're trying to capture in this festival. So they're trying to get at to have people in this kind of season step away from politics, step away from all the insane mm-hmm. news, and instead kind of look for transcendence.
You have brought us a clip from the second movement of James McMillan's Stabat Mater, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
I'm not really sure.
Let's take a listen. Okay, so that will be performed there in November. But you're really excited about this weekend's
performance. I sure am. This is the Love Suicides at Sonozaki. This is a very famous classic Japanese play. It's kind of like the Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. It's like along those lines, right. Love suicides, like you get it. But it has Bunraku, which is a kind of Japanese puppet theater very rarely seen outside Japan. Giant puppets, almost life-size. The puppeteers are all wearing black, and they're on stage. You can see them on stage, and they're manipulating these puppets. And there's a narrator who kind of tells the story. It's really a beautiful art form, and as I said, we don't see it, and that's this weekend.
All right, so that's going to be the White Light Festival at Lincoln Center, October 19th through November 24th. All right, I want to talk about Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
You gave this as a recommendation. I was very excited to see this on the list. Why do you think folks should check out the revival of Little Shop of Horrors?
I gotta say, I thought it was perfect. I thought it was perfect.
I put on my Facebook page, adorable.
Yes. It's so lovely to see it in that small space. You feel like you're right there.
How many people are in the theater, maybe?
You know, it's got to be under 199 because otherwise it's technically Broadway, so it's so smaller than that. And, you know, the thing I really loved is, of course, it stars Jonathan Groff and Christian Borle and Tammy Blanchard. And the thing I loved about it is Tammy Blanchard doesn't play Audrey. So Audrey is kind of a down-at-her-heels woman who could be seen as a prostitute or that kind of thing. But here she's not. She's often played like kind of ditzy. And that's not who she is now. She's just sad. You can see like life has worn on her. Mm-hmm. And she just sings so beautifully. It feels very heartfelt. And the whole production kind of feels earnest. And then there's, of course, the puppet. Did you like the puppet?
Puppet was great.
Right? Me too.
And I thought Jonathan Groff was great. I thought he was going to be a little too handsome for the role, but he really nails the nerd.
He was perfect. Yeah.
Little Shop of Horrors at the West Side Theater upstairs through January 19th. Jay Vanasco is our culture editor. This has been The Get Out. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
You've been listening to all of it on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Have a great, safe weekend. I'll meet you back here next time.